In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Big story. It was broke yesterday on Pro Football Talk by this man. He is Mike Florio. And the story, the headline, Deshaun Watson sued for sexual assault and battery. And we bring him on right now. He is Mike Florio, and he's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Don't forget about his book that's out right now, Son of Mine. It's available on Amazon. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How are you?
Hi, Mike.
Oh, good. Man, what is the deal with Deshaun Watson? And are we ever going to be able to walk away from the story here? Because it continues to go on and on and on. And now we're wondering what's next. What's next for the Browns? What's next for the league? And just kind of get us up to speed.
Well, when we reached the two-year anniversary of the wave of lawsuits, well over 20 of them that were filed against Deshaun Watson in March of 2021, that's when it all started. When we hit 2023, there was just a general conclusion that, okay, there can't be anything else, because in most of these situations, the statute of limitations, the deadline for filing your lawsuit, is 2 years from the date of the incident. And so that was my first thought when another lawsuit emerged. Oh, wait a minute, something has happened more recently that would be within the statute of limitations. But as it turns out, in Texas, for sexual assault, it's a five-year statute. And that is the claim that's made here. Most of the other cases, it got into a notion of offensive behavior. It wasn't really a sexual assault per se. People were made to feel uncomfortable by the alleged circumstances, and if the allegations are true, justifiably so. But it wasn't something that would fall directly and squarely into classic sexual assault. This one does, if the allegations are true. And again, these are just allegations, but it is a lawsuit that's been filed. The question is, since it looks like it will survive any type of a statute of limitations challenge, and even if it couldn't, if this is new to the NFL, what will they do about it? Can they do anything about it? They handpicked the cases that they put in front of Judge Sue Robinson to support the suspension that was sought 2 years ago. The NFLPA could say that was your chance and you knew or should have known about this other case. Did they know or should they have known about this other case? Did the Browns know or should they have known about this other case? And really, as it relates to Watson's contract, was this claim disclosed in writing by him to the Browns when he signed? Because there's a paragraph in his contract, paragraph number 42, that makes it clear that if it wasn't previously disclosed and it does result in a suspension, they can void the guarantees. And that would be the escape hatch that the Browns, with $92 million beyond this year, they could, if Watson would be suspended for this and it wasn't disclosed, they could, if they wanted to, rip up the contract and move on.
Mike, you've laid out some differences between this and the previous cases. Is that enough of a difference that it could spike some kind of a morals clause or something else that could allow the Browns, if they chose to get out of the contract?
It all comes down to whether or not, first, he disclosed this to the Browns when the contract was done as part of the trade that happened in early 2022. The other issue would be, is this sufficiently new to allow the league to take action? They had presented to Judge Sue Robinson, the independent third party who is the fact finder in these disciplinary cases, they had presented a handful of the cases, of all the cases out there. They narrowed it down to a few that they pushed for discipline on. Did they have this one at their disposal when they decided which ones. Because the argument would be, if I'm the union, hey, this is over, this is done. You either knew about it or you should have known about it. You had a chance to do a full and complete investigation, and you didn't take action based on this, so you can't come back and do it now. That case is over. This isn't a new case that you didn't have on your radar screen. That's what the union probably would argue if it ever came down to it. We don't know what the league's going to do. I asked the league about it yesterday. They declined comment. I asked the Browns about it. They didn't respond to my inquiry. So I don't know what anybody's going to do. But, you know, here's the bottom line. And we were talking about this on PFT Live today. Devin McCourty made this point. If the team wants to get on with their existence and move away from Deshaun Watson, and they have this thing fall into their lap, why wouldn't they use it? I made the point yesterday on PFT Live before we even knew about it. Boy, the Browns, the only way out of this is if he gets suspended. The Browns would love for him to get suspended because then they could escape the $92 million that he's owed next year and the year after.
And you think they'd want to go in that direction based on play, based on continued drama?
Well, I don't know what the Browns want to do. Last year, after the Week 2 game at Pittsburgh, when he shoved an official and he wasn't even disciplined for it, I made the point then that if he would be suspended for making contact with an official, that that would potentially allow the Browns to void the guarantees. And someone reached out and said, well, we're not looking to do that. Because I think some interpreted it as the Browns are actively looking for a way out of this contract. But that was a year ago. He played six games last season. It didn't go well on Sunday against the Cowboys. Excuse me. At some point, will they say, man, we'd love to have something like this fall into our laps so we could move on from Deshaun Watson? I'm sure there are plenty of fans right now that wish that would happen, that would like to move on, that wish they could get back the money and the three first-round draft picks and the three other draft picks that were given up. Think of how good the Browns roster would be right now if they had retained those picks and used them and not dumped all that money into Watson. So if there's a way to declare victory and retreat, I think the Browns would at least have to consider it if it would happen to literally fall into their laps.
Mike, were they looking for was Deshaun's camp maybe looking for a settlement before this thing hit the papers? Does that make and how many other women could there be out there? I mean, we already know, like you said, 20 plus. And, I mean, could there be other situations where they settled before it ever hit the court?
Well, with a five-year statute of limitations, there could be others. There could be cases that have settled that we never knew about. In this new lawsuit, there is a reference made to an attempt to try to resolve the case before filing it, and that wasn't successful. Now, you're not required to try to resolve a case with someone before you settle it, but when you're talking about someone who's in a public profile like this, and there are other issues that immediately would arise, such as possible suspension or having his guarantees voided, there is additional settlement value. And it becomes delicate for the lawyers, to say the least, because you're supposed to be trying to settle the case based upon the damages that you would prove at trial and what the case is actually worth as relates to a verdict. You know, well, we think this would be a big verdict, so we'll settle it for 75% of what we think we can get. When part of the settlement pressure is you don't want this to get out, we start straddling the line of extortion. And that word gets thrown around a lot lazily and inappropriately in this setting, because it's not extortion to approach someone before filing a lawsuit that you plan to file and say this is your opportunity to resolve it. But there is a line that gets very blurry between the actual value of the case being the driving force for settlement and the value of no one knowing about the case. And that becomes, I think, problematic at some level for a lawyer who's putting his or her thumb on the scale, because they know if this comes out, it's going to create problems for the person unrelated to the lawsuit itself.
Hmm. Mike Florio joining us. Mike, if you think Deshaun Watson is happy here, do you think he's enjoys being a Cleveland Brown and the way this has played out, or I mean, he's got a lot of 230 million reasons to be happy here, but with everything else hasn't worked.
I love to study the body language of quarterbacks during games, at press conferences, what they say, how they say it, look in their eyes, etc. He's lost his confidence, I believe, and he just doesn't seem like a guy who's truly engaged, and he's clearly not as effective as he was when he was in Houston. And he last had a great season in 2020. And I don't know whether it's the embarrassment of all the allegations that have been made, his defiance, if he truly believes he's innocent. And I don't know how strongly he clings to that now, but there have been moments where you get the impression he still denies that he did anything wrong, even after the NFL suspended him for 11 games 2 years ago, and even after all of the settlements that have been paid out. So I don't know what it is, and I don't know, did he ever really want to come to Cleveland, or was it just $46 million per year on a five-year deal, fully guaranteed, and nobody else was willing to do that? Did he even consider whether he wanted to play for the Browns? Was it just, I'm going to go grab the most money I can, and as long as it's anywhere but the Houston Texans, I'm fine with it? So I think there's a lot of factors that go into it, but he's not the guy that he was 4 years ago. There may be a lot of different reasons for that, but the guy we see on the field, the guy we see off the field, is a very different person than the guy we saw 4 years ago.
It's hard not to think that. I mean, he had to have known this lawsuit was going to get dropped before the weekend, don't you? Is that possible or no?
I don't know how surprised he or his camp were, but there is a parallel here. It's the Monday after the first Sunday of the season. That's when the Ray Rice video was dropped by TMZ 10 years ago, and that turned the league upside down. This has had an impact, and this has created a lot of questions. It didn't land with that same thud as the Ray Rice video did in 2014, the day after week one, but I suspect it was calculated to be filed and to be noticed the day after the first Sunday of the regular season. And it's a big deal because we thought this was all over.
Right.
We thought it was done. That's what was so stunning about it. My first response was, what has happened recently? Because we thought all the stuff from back in that 2020, 21, 2019 time frame was over and done and gone.
Mike Florio is joining us from Pro Football Talk. How discombobulated did the Browns look to you on Sunday? Let's talk a little football. And Deshaun was a part of that, but boy, it wasn't all on him.
It could just never really get going. And look, the strength of the team last year was the defense. Maybe the Cowboys' offense is the best one they're going to see all year. I don't know. I just think that it's hard to talk about the Browns without factoring in who their quarterback is and this weird cloud of uncertainty that continues to linger over him. Last year, they were kind of up and down while he was playing. They had that great signature win at Baltimore right before we found out he needed shoulder surgery and was done for the year. And then they found a way to focus on the guys they had, and in comes Joe Flacco, and special regular season that culminated in a disappointing postseason showing. But I just think now you've got a team where, if it's possible to remove Deshaun Watson from the equation, should feel pretty good about itself. But then the most important position is a guy that we don't know if he still has it, and it looks like he's lost it. And at what point does that drag the team down? I think Joe Flacco didn't come back, wasn't asked back, wanted to come back, because they understood that what would happen on Sunday at some point during that game.
Oh, the fans would have been going crazy.
They'd have been going crazy for Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And they're already talking about Jameis Winston, who is a failed former number one overall pick, who has had chances to be a starter since leaving Tampa Bay and hasn't played well enough to be a starter. That talk is already starting. So I think it was political, not political in the classic sense, but political as it relates to, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we have to bench Deshaun Watson with all this money we owe him. That's the problem. That gigantic contract is an anchor around the franchise. The cap numbers next year go through the roof, north of $70 million after the restructuring they did this year. And at what point do they just bite the bullet and pay the money and do what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson, pay him to play for someone else? That's why if this new lawsuit becomes a thing and he gets suspended, the Browns have that opportunity to get out of this thing. And you wonder whether or not the league's even going to help him, because remember all the talk from 2022 when the contract was done about the Haslam getting the cold shoulder, the owners being upset. There was eventually a collusion grievance that's still pending regarding the refusal to give other quarterbacks fully guaranteed contracts. That contract the Browns did made a big problem for the league, and I don't know how anxious the league is going to be to throw the Browns a lifeline.
Jeff and I were talking about that on the way into work today.
Yep.
You know, as much as you thought, would they be better served than just releasing him after the new year on what, June 1st, and then trying to go into next year. To me, it just seems like the cap money they keep pushing down the road is just like crushing to the franchise. But is how bad is it if they wait until June 1st and then let him go into next season?
Well, you can still release him pre-June 1 with a post-June 1 designation.
Okay.
And then that would enhance the likelihood he would land somewhere else, but he would just do what Russell Wilson did. You go somewhere else for the league minimum, and the Browns are on the hook for the remainder of the $46 million. He's still making $46 million next year and the year after. The question is, how much of it will the Browns pay? How much of it will someone else pay? It's shades of the Brock Osweiler trade. Remember when the Browns
Yes.
picked up the second-round pick by taking on the $16 million salary that Brock Osweiler had, and then they eventually cut him? He landed back in Denver for the minimum, and the Browns had to pay the difference, but they happily paid the difference because they were paying for the draft pick they got from the Texans. Browns wouldn't be getting anything for this other than the satisfaction of moving on from Watson, the message it would send to the fan base, to the locker room. We just have to acknowledge our mistake and move forward. And there are people in the league who firmly live by the notion that if you make a mistake, the moment you know you've made the mistake, rectify it. If you delay or double down, you only make it worse. And I'm not saying the Browns are there yet, but they are moving in that direction. And how the rest of this season goes is going to, I think, be enough evidence for the Browns to either admit that they made a mistake or truly and legitimately declare victory. This is the year. There's still 16 chapters left in the book. We'll see how it goes. But if it goes like it did on Sunday, I think they have a tough decision to make when the season ends.
Mike, how do you think the Tyreek Hill video is playing in New York right now as we see now we see the body cam footage from the police, and like everybody had their phones out. I mean, we saw, all of us saw what happened. How is this playing in New York now?
Well, I think that it's possible that both sides had some degree of fault here. It doesn't have to be crystal clear one side is right and the other side is wrong. And the problem is both sides have kind of hunkered down in their respective corners, and they're blaming the other. The police union says Tyreek Hill was uncooperative. The Dolphins are saying what the police did was over the top and reprehensible. I think that Tyreek Hill should have been more cooperative at the outset. There is a reason that the police officers want you to have tinted windows rolled down. They want to be able to see whether or not you might have a weapon that you would use against them. That is a legitimate safety concern. But at some point, trying to get him to comply with the order crossed over into, I'll show you, I'll teach you a lesson, almost like punishing a child. Like, okay, well, you're complying now. I don't care. It's too late for that. You're going to go face down on the pavement, and you're going to have your hands cuffed behind your back, and you're going to be treated like this as punishment for daring to not comply and cooperate. That's where the police officers were in the wrong. And what I would like to see happen is Tyreek Hill and the police officers come together, acknowledge their mutual fault for this, with more of it, I think, landing on the side of the police officers, but use this as a way to educate everyone on how to properly handle these interactions. What should you do? Devin McCourty was on PFT Live today, and he said, when I get pulled over, I put all my windows down, and I leave them down. I don't want anyone to think I'm a threat. I never want there to be any confusion or misunderstanding. And, you know, the Tyreek attitude of just give me my ticket, I'm late, that's not going to set the right tone for the interaction. But still, at some point, the guy with the badge and the gun decided he's going to show Tyreek Hill who's boss, and he's going to punish Tyreek Hill for daring to defy him. That's when the cops were in the wrong. So I hope that there's nuance here, and I hope that the two sides find a way to come together and try to create something good out of all of this.
Mike, your book, Son of Mine, on sale now. I see you with it on Pro Football Talk. How's it going?
Well, it's, you know, the problem is, and I've learned my lesson here, don't release a book the Tuesday of the season starting, because I've basically forgotten about it. I need to be promoting it. It is really, really good. And I know that, you know, oh, well, what's he going to say? It sucks. I'm telling you, it's really, really good. And I would give you a money-back guarantee if I could. I'll give you my personal guarantee. I'll stake my reputation on it, whatever reputation I have left. It's only $4.99. You can't buy anything for $4.99 nowadays. $14.99 for the print edition. And I'm telling you, if you like mob stories, if you like something that moves fast, people are buying it and reading it in a day. They're pissed at me because they'd like it to, you know, take them through the weekend or something, because it's nice to have a world that you escape to, and it's fun to be reading a good book. You look forward to those quiet moments where you can get away from everything and do it. But when you sit down and like eat the whole pizza in one sitting, that pisses people off. So I'm sorry that the pizza is so good you're eating it all in one sitting, but it's better than not having the pizza at all. So go buy the pizza for $4.99, cheaper than you can find a pizza anywhere, and you will enjoy it, and it won't add any inches to your waistline.
Very good. All right, Mike. Thank you. As always, you know we appreciate your time, and we always read your stuff. You're the Bible when it comes to the NFL. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks,
guys. All right. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Mike Florio just joined us, and you can listen to that entire interview on the Odyssey app, Baskin and Phelps podcast. Mike was the one that broke the story yesterday on what's going on with Deshaun Watson, gave some perspective on. I thought it was interesting that he happened to say like 2 days ago that, or right after the game, that the only way that the Browns could be getting out of his contract would be as if he had some kind of suspension, or to make the contract null. And so, I mean, we're kind of sitting here trying to wait to hear what the Browns are going to say about this, what the league is going to say about this. Deshaun Watson is scheduled to speak tomorrow. And so is Kevin Stefanski. So I do kind of hope, and Jeff and I are both saying this, that due to the nature of the lawsuit and where we are with this, and it's a contractual thing, I really hope that it's Andrew Berry that steps out and says something, or Jimmy or Dee Haslam that steps out and talks and doesn't put this on Kevin Stefanski tomorrow to make some kind of – to have to answer questions for the organization. I understand he's the face of the football team when it comes to being the head coach, but he's not the face of the entire organization. And I can't tell you how many times that we've seen before, not only the Browns, but other teams will just throw their head coach out there to answer questions that really, you know, that they really shouldn't be answering or can't answer. And then the answer you're going to get is, I can only coach football. That's right.
You'll have to check with others.
I can only play with the players that they tell me I can play with this week, right?
Absolutely. Yep, and that's absolutely the case. Hey, we're looking for a winner. Enter the word BACON, B-A-C-O-N, BACON, at 92.3thefan.com by 2 o'clock for your chance to win a four-pack of combo meals from Mr. Hero. You can check out their two new waffle doodle sandwiches, the Nashville Hot and the BLT, and make sure to download the Mr. Hero app. So do that. Courtesy of Mr. Hero and Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Again, the word BACON by 2 o'clock for your chance to win.
Okay, what did we learn from Mike Florio there, Jeff?
Mike mentioned what I thought. This sounds different enough from the other lawsuits that have been filed and settled that there might be some type of a discussion, some type of a difference that could lead to a different reaction from the NFL. That I think that's interesting. It's to be determined. As Mike said, you know, the other cases weren't exactly sexual assault. And this is what that is called, sexual assault and battery. And perhaps that's different, which leads to a different reaction from the NFL. and maybe different consequences. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Mike wasn't, you know, Mike laid that out beautifully. But it's going to be something, Andy, I think that the NFL is going to have to interpret probably after investigation and after heavy discussion with NFL legal counsel.
Yeah. I'm just, for Browns fans, as we talk to you today at 216-474-0092, it's like, at what point is enough is enough? Like, if Deshaun goes out on Sunday, throws four touchdown passes for 400 yards, I don't know if fans are feeling the way they are today about getting this news yesterday. And people would be like, oh, here we go. Deshaun's finally back, and now we have to go back to the problems that you saw before. So I do think in some worlds that people are piling on, obviously because Deshaun didn't have the kind of showing that you wanted him to in week one. And you also haven't seen the return on investment, considering all the draft picks that you had given up before and the price that you paid for his contract setting standards. I also thought it was really interesting that Mike brought up the fact that don't look for the NFL to help the Browns on this, because they're the ones that kind of broke the glass ceiling on what contracts should look like.
You can be sure other owners around the NFL are not going to think, oh, let's let the Browns out of this, because look how much money quarterbacks are making since Deshaun's contract came out. And every
right,
guy.
So is that other owners calling the commissioner and saying, hey, don't cut him any slack. Don't put this guy in your commissioner's list.
Yeah, you can be sure of that. Roger will get a couple of calls. Wouldn't you?
I would think so. But then again, Roger's got to do what's best for the league, right? If what's best for the league is to say, look, we can't go down this road again, and you know this the allegations, but I still want to hear what Deshaun has to say, and the league will hear what Deshaun wants to say. It's just too much. It's too much. Deshaun, go get some help, and you know we'll regroup at some other point. And by the way, you're going to end up on the commissioner's list for this, for under a suspension. And then the Browns end up, you know, he ends up getting suspended, and then maybe the contract goes void after that. All I know is that something that you've said, and that the feeling that I get from Browns fans that have been calling us today, is that the entire story just is tired. And the drama is just sucks the life out of the franchise.
Andy, that's partially because we haven't seen the play that they were expecting to get. Mike went the same thing I said, and you said, if they have a chance to get out of this contract because of this, I would think they would jump at it. And if Deshaun ends up on another team and plays well, so be it. But this clearly hasn't worked yet for the Browns. Will it work? Maybe. But, man, right now it hasn't worked. And all that's come with it is a bad look for the organization because of the stuff with all of the lawsuits and not great quarterback play.
All right, here's what Florio had to say about the situation, like where we're at right now, right? That's basically it.
There was just a general conclusion that, okay, there can't be anything else, because in most of these situations, the statute of limitations, the deadline for filing your lawsuit, is 2 years from the date of the incident. And so that was my first thought when another lawsuit emerged. Oh, wait a minute. Something has happened more recently that would be within the statute of limitations. But as it turns out in Texas, for sexual assault, it's a 5-year statute. And that is the claim that's made here.
I still think the NFLPA is going to come back and say, we've already been down this road. You've said that we're not going to, you know, go backwards on this and talk about things that happened, and that, you know, is this in the same group as the massage complaints, and that you ended up settling, you know, about 23 lawsuits on there.
But as Florio said, little different stuff in this lawsuit.
Yeah, I just wonder how quick the league's going to take. You know, the funny thing is every time you want the league to make a decision, it always takes forever, right? Yeah, and it suddenly drops on Friday afternoon. I don't know. Could the Browns be in a position by the end of the week to not know who their quarterback is based on what the league has to say?
I wouldn't worry about that. I would assume that Deshaun Watson is starting at quarterback. And if not, you put Jameis Winston in and he plays quarterback.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Off day for the Browns, but the news never stops when it comes to the Browns. 216-474-0092. Obviously, the big story of the day is Deshaun Watson. And you know, the NFL not commenting right now, the Browns not commenting. We'll find out what they have to say, I would think, within the next 24 hours, especially for the Browns. And Deshaun Watson, who's scheduled to talk tomorrow as the starting quarterback normally does going into the week, and they have a set time, and tomorrow's set time normally with Deshaun is tomorrow. And then, you know, you hear from Kevin Stefanski almost every day. So, Kevin, I'm sure they'll both be asked about this. Be interesting to see if Andrew Berry steps out and talks about the situation. It'll be interesting to see if Jimmy or D. Haslam steps out to talk about the situation with Deshaun Watson. Again, in case you didn't hear yesterday, Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk breaking the news that Deshaun Watson is being sued for sexual assault and battery. The details are pretty graphic. If you want to go in and check that out, I would tell you to go do that online. And that Pro Football Talk has a lot of that stuff. And so does Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, who has a ton of information on this. So go to 92.3thefan.com as well. There's still plenty of things to talk about, too, with Mike Florio, because he did explain some things to us, Jeff, and, you know, more out of that Florio conversation and your thoughts on that.
I just think Mike's insight is really good because he's extremely well-connected and he's a lawyer. So he understands all of this. I keep going back to the, is this the same as the other stuff? And Mike laid out kind of what I was thinking just by reading about what happened in this case compared to some of the others. And Mike said the suit is for sexual assault and battery, which is technically different than the other lawsuits. Now, whether that means anything when it comes to what the NFL is thinking here, and what could possibly happen, I don't know. Mm. But it didn't seem like the exact same stuff to me, Andy. And apparently it doesn't to Florio either.
Nelson is in Avon Lake. Hi, Nelson. How are you?
Nelson.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, first and foremost, I want to thank you for covering the story and for being fair and being balanced. I'm sure that you would prefer to be taking different types of calls today or in the future. Just a couple of quick points. I'm not going to be a phony, right? When the Browns made the trade, I was excited. I was excited because of the potential, right, talent that this the young man possessed.
And Nelson, talent that we actually saw. You know, I mean, he was really good in Houston.
For sure. And that's the reason why the Browns make the trade, right? He was a quantifiable asset with let's call it a somewhat proven track record of success, something the Browns haven't had in a long time. And at the time, it makes sense. But my concern is this, right? It really breaks my heart to say this. I think that if the Browns have an opportunity where this in some way opens the door to a nullification or voiding of the contract, the Browns should take advantage of it. It makes me sad to say it, but I don't think that this is going to end well. I just don't think that this is going to end well, and it's truly disappointing. But as always, I appreciate your time and thank you for your perspective.
Thank you, Nelson.
Thanks, Nelson.
And you know, Mike Florio said exactly the same thing. That you know, who did he say was on his McCourty?
Yeah,
didn't say Devin McCourty was on his show. Is saying if the Browns had the chance to walk away, why wouldn't they right now? Like, you'd have the opportunity to walk.
It's a football thing.
Yeah, it's not walking about. In some ways, it's not even walking away from the player. It's walking away from that contract.
Yeah. And the situation, Andy. Well, let's be fair. If you're halfway through it, and the Browns basically are, if you're halfway through it and it hasn't worked out yet, okay, you're just keeping your fingers crossed that it will. Maybe it will. But if you're halfway through, you still owe them a ton of money, and you could get out of it if you so chose to do that, man, you'd have to do that, wouldn't you?
But like Mary Kay said, they're not looking to get out of it. And Florio said the same thing about last year, where it looked like there was an opportunity for, you know, who knows what was going to – oh, remember he touched the ref. And there's possible suspension on that.
And Florio heard from someone that we're not interested in getting out of it.
Yeah. So Randy is in Akron. Hey, Randy.
How you doing?
Hi, Randy.
All right. I got something kind of off the wall to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out why would these girls wait 4 more years to come out of the closet and file these charges? Do you think it's possible that it's like has one set up or something to get out of the contract with his son?
I don't know about that. I mean, look,
I have no idea. Your latter part, no, I don't buy that at all.
You don't think so?
No.
Because why? I mean, it makes no sense that they would wait 4 more years, wait till he played a horrible game again, and then all of a sudden he's got all these charges. And, you know, they had the opportunity 4 years ago. Why would they wait? There, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, statute of limitations was 5 years, according to Florio in the state of Texas.
Right. Randy, thank you. Randy in Akron.
Thanks, Randy.
The other thing is, and I brought this up with Mike, is, like, all we know about are the, 23 that settled, right? How many of there were there, or could there? I shouldn't say how many. I said there's a possibility that there were others out there that never made it to any kind of legal proceeding, and that, you know, Deshaun might have said, well, look, we got these other ones here. These other ones might be coming too, and let's take care of this, and let's make sure this doesn't get in the news and try to settle off on the side before it ever becomes news. And maybe this is a situation where, and it's, in fact, Florio said so, that they tried to settle before the lawsuit was even drawn up. So that, who knows? I mean, they may have been settling with the accuser. What's it? Accuser would be the right word here, wouldn't it?
I guess.
Yeah. Maybe they've been settling since day one. You know, and so now the accuser's like, well, now what? You know what? Let's just tell them we want $1 million and then this is over. And it just seems like Deshaun says no, right? That's the way it read in the story. I don't want to put wrong words out there, and I don't want to give misinformation. That was the way it was interpreted from the story. So maybe that's the timing of it. But Mike also brought up the fact that, you know, it's the first weekend of the NFL, and you have the opportunity to kind of drop a bombshell on there and make big news headlines. Here you go again with Deshaun Watson, you know, in the same, similar, but not exactly the same situation that he had been in the other lawsuits that had been settled. Chuck is in Shaker. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Listen, okay, two quick points.
Yep.
There was a little video. I don't know whether you guys seen it. It was on one of the Cleveland Browns like apps, you know, and they had Joe Pitonio. He had recovered Watson's fumble.
Yep.
And Watson tried to help him up, and he kind of snatched away from Watson. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, it's out there. And then Joe Thomas had said, hey, offensive linemen are like turtles because of their knees and the way they have to get up off the ground. Yeah. So Joe Thomas had said something yesterday about that. That kind of it might not be what you think it is. Like you're saying, the offensive line doesn't get along with Deshaun. I think that was the interpretation a lot of people looked at. And, you know, who knows? Maybe that is. But Joe Thomas defended, you know, what happened in that incident.
Yeah, one other quick thing. You think Watson, you know, but you remember Bobby Bonilla? He had a deal with I think it was the Mets or the Giants, where he gets paid every so often.
Yeah.
Man, if I was Watson, man, I'd have my agent to propose some kind of, I'd just retire, man, because this is becoming too much. Retire. Make some kind of new deal with the Browns where they pay him like maybe $5 million for the next 20, 25 years or something. You think the Browns would jump on that?
I don't think that works.
I don't think there's NFLPA repercussions from that. Like, I don't know. But if he needed to retire, you can't stop a guy from retiring.
In the retirement contract deal, he would, you know, get paid by the Browns some of his money, not all of it, but maybe he'd say, okay, I'll take $150 million and just pay it every so often on the anniversary date that I sign my retirement, you know.
I don't know that that's allowed. I don't know that it's not, Chuck, but that my question would be, is that even legal?
Chuck, let me just say this. If it was $1 million, I'd give you $500,000 a year. I'll take the other $500,000. We'll both be smiling.
Wait a minute. You and I had a deal.
Phelps is out. He's out. Chuck, thank you.
You got me out of there.
Chuck, hopefully we'll get paid, me and you. Thanks. Goodbye, Chuck.
If either Andy or I win the lottery, the deal is the other guy gets $2 million. Or is it $1 million?
I thought it was two.
Is it two?
No. It's two if I win. It's one for if you win.
Inflation. And you got to account for inflation.
Menigan also gets paid, but Dan's not going to pay us because he doesn't buy a lottery ticket from time to time.
Is that how it works?
Yep. That's the deal.
All right.
You didn't hear that?
Time for one more quick one. Go ahead.
I'd pay you guys if I ever bought a lottery ticket.
Thanks.
I'd pay you guys. Come on. You know it. Dave, how are you?
Dave.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Hey, look, I wasn't going to call him, but I had to. It was getting too much for me. Mm-hmm. So this is a civil suit.
Yeah.
It's not a criminal suit. So where is the charges of sexual assault? For it to be a criminal, you have to be criminally charged. So there is no criminal charges. Why
Correct.
Do we keep saying criminal?
No one said criminal.
We haven't used that word all day.
Saying the five-year limitation, it was a sexual charge.
It's there for filing. No, I do believe it's for filing civil. A civil suit.
Yeah,
in Texas.
From
what Florio told us.
You have to be charged with something for it to be convicted, to be charged. This is a civil lawsuit,
yeah.
Just like all the other ones were. So, therefore, it's just another payday. There is no criminal charges. If there was something criminal,
we know
he would
that.
Be prosecuted.
Yeah, we never said he was charged.
Well, we've
talked about it being a civil lawsuit the entire time. We've not once said. In fact, someone said it earlier, and then we corrected him early on. But, Dave, thank you. Appreciate your phone call. Dave in Cleveland.
Mike Florio told us that there was a statute of limitations. I'm assuming that that's for filing a civil lawsuit based on sexual assault.
Correct. In Texas, it is 5-year statute of limitation.
For charges. It's for filing a civil lawsuit.
And there you have that.
Unless we're completely mistaken on what Mike Florio said. But Mike was crystal clear about it.
That's in Mike's story. Isn't it? Am I missing? Okay, 100% it was in the story. So
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.